Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Wednesday, June 1st, 2022. And oh my goodness, coming off episode 3 of Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's what we're here to talk about today. And I'm still trying to catch my breath after that episode. Wow. Wow, wow, wee wow is about all I can say to that one. So I'm going to, you know, I put this at the top of every episode, but, you know, you guys see the titles. But obviously, spoiler alert, if you have not seen episode 3 of Obi-Wan Kenobi, I don't know what you're doing. Go watch the episode because it is, man, there are some things happening in that episode that are just, for, as a Star Wars fan, yes, like give me more of that. So a little bit of housekeeping here, obviously, before we get going. Don't forget, you can always follow me on Twitter at Mark Turcotte, M-E-R-K-T-U-R-C. And of course, you can always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com, which please let me know your thoughts on this episode. I want to know coming out of here where people are standing with what we saw on that screen. So let's jump in here. Here we go. Spoiler warning, obviously. So I'm going to jump right to the end. And not even just the end, just Vader in general. Like, we knew we were getting Darth Vader in this season, in this show. We knew Hayden Christensen was going to be coming back. I don't think we officially knew James Earl Jones was going to be reprising the voice. I don't know if that was officially known out there. I mean, I think it was kind of assumed by everyone, but we didn't actually get official confirmation. Well, of course, in this case, they're two-manning it, just kind of like they did with Darth Maul in Solo, right? You know, we have now two people playing this character where it's the voice that you know and love and Hayden Christensen playing Vader in the suit. You know, the episode kicks off right with him basically being pieced together out of the back to tank, something that, you know, we've seen bits and pieces of in places. I didn't expect to be getting that literally right off the bat here. In this episode, and then on top of that, this early on, episode 3, I mean, we have 3 more episodes after this. I really didn't think we were going to get Vader till later. Like, I didn't think we were going to see a Vader, you know, maybe get glimpses of him kind of sitting on the throne, which I kind of thought that's what we were going to get here. When we saw Reva go and talk to him, I thought, okay, well, this is what, she's just going to be checking in with him every once in a while. We're not going to get like a full-on, you know, Vader in action. Well, boy, was I wrong on that. But before we get to that real quick, you know, back to Reva and Vader, we do learn that her goal is essentially to win his favor and become the Grand Inquisitor, because Vader says that. He's like, you know, you're going to be able to achieve pretty much what you've wanted to achieve, and that's become the Grand Inquisitor, right? But of course, that's dependent on her finding Obi-Wan. And you know, clearly, I don't think he wants Obi-Wan dead, right? He wants Obi-Wan to suffer, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. But I think that's great. So we kind of know Reva's motivation now. You know, it almost seems like all the Inquisitors probably have that same goal as well, that they all probably want to rise up and become the Grand Inquisitor. You know, we don't know the fate of the Grand Inquisitor after the last episode. Is he dead? Is he alive? I mean, we assume he's going to be alive, right? Because we see him in Rebels. But again, I'm still not totally convinced that that could be the same Grand Inquisitor, right? Because now knowing that Grand Inquisitor is just a title, did we ever learn his name in Rebels? I'm not sure if we did. So he could just be a Grand Inquisitor. Doesn't mean he's the same Grand Inquisitor, right? From Rebels. But then, guys, come on. We get this scene, man, of Vader. Like, not only did we get just the moments of him being pieced together, talking to Reva and talking on the throne, but then on top of that, we get the chase, basically. So, you know, we had the ruthless Vader in Rogue One, at the end of Rogue One, which kind of left everybody breathless seeing that, which still probably is even more ruthless than we see him here to some extent, though, although what he kind of does Obi-Wan is a little bit over the top. But then you get a very sinister, very scary as hell Vader in Jedi Fallen Order. And now we get this new scene of Vader where he's essentially, like, you see all the Inquisitors, the troopers all just basically fall in line and let him walk the streets. And he's pulling people out of their houses, snapping a dude's neck, dragging someone while choking them behind him on the ground. You hear people crying, screaming. that's the Vader we all want, right? And then on top of that, you know, at first, like, did you think, I don't think Obi-Wan really knew who he was. I mean, you get the sense that he was kind of feeling that familiarity, kind of like the scene in Rebels where Ahsoka kind of feels that about Vader. But he doesn't really know who he is until, of course, you know, they start clashing, which I didn't think we would get their lightsabers clashing this early on, if at all, in the series. I mean, I was really kind of almost thinking we weren't going to get that. But no, we got it. In episode 3, they do their little battle. But clearly Vader is much more powerful by having tapped into the Force, or into the, you know, the Sith side of the Force. He now is stronger than Obi-Wan. And, you know, it seemed a bit weird if you think about, like, you know, prequel Obi-Wan and Vader, where they're flipping around and jumping all over the place. This is, I'm not going to say only 10 years later, because I'm not in the same shape I was 10 years ago, but I would think that I could still kind of fight pretty good, especially when you see people like Mace Windu, Count Dooku, and all them kind of jumping and doing flips. Wouldn't Obi-Wan maybe be trying to do that? I mean, you've already lit your lightsaber, man, so go all the way in. Use your powers, man. Like, you're out in the open at this point. But take that for what it is. I mean, I guess you could just assume maybe Vader was suppressing it because, you know, he's able to hold him down, basically. But then eventually, you know, they have a couple scary moments. We're kind of having the Friday the 13th Vader where, you know, it seems like Obi-Wan gets away and the, you know, Friday the 13th, he catches up to him real fast and he appears in front of him hitting the saber, which was cool, which was awesome. But then, man, what just a vindictive, evil thing for Vader to do, where he basically just holds Obi-Wan, lifts him up in the air, straps one arm down, basically. I don't know if you caught that. One arm was locked to his side. Because when he throws him on the ground in the flames, like, he basically is like, hey, you're going to be just like me and crawl around with one arm. That's all you got. And layers whatever on the ground, hits the spark, flames ignite, and he starts dragging Obi-Wan through fire and basically says, I want you to suffer just like I did. That moment right there is probably one of the most ridiculously awesome things I've seen in Star Wars in a long, long time. Like, I'm not going to put it on, I mean, it's different. It hits different. But, like, the Rey in Force Awakens in the theater that first time was like, I mean, you kind of knew it was going there. But when it happened and she catches a lightsaber and hits it, like, the crowd just erupts, right? This was kind of that moment for me watching this. I mean, that's by myself, but, like, I almost wanted to jump up and just, I was just like, oh my God, like, this is crazy that he's doing this. Cause you know that pent up anger inside Vader had been there for so long. And he finally has Obi-Wan in his clutches. And rather than just kill him, he's like, no, I want you to suffer and you're gonna suffer just like I did. Unbelievable. Unbelievable writing. Man, crazy. Now, where does that put us, right? Because now Obi-Wan's going to be burnt, obviously. He's going to have to heal up at some point. If you look, didn't get the face, got the arm. I mean, every time we see Obi-Wan here from here on out, back to episode 4 and all that, he's cloaked. You know, you don't get to see any of those burns. So they easily could have done that. But man, just epic. And now I don't know where it's going to go because, you know, you still have Reva now, who's still out there. And I'm so sorry for that sound if you hear that. Guy's working downstairs. The Inquisitors now are still going to be searching for Obi-Wan, because that was kind of funny too. I'm like, the troopers, you hear, if you have the subtitles on, you heard one of the troopers say, like, there's no way around it, like, talking about the fire. It's like, dude, come on, walk around. Number one, like, making stormtroopers look bad because we can't shoot good, and now you're saying we can't walk around fire? Like, really? That was kind of funny. That kind of made me chuckle, which I'm sure that was kind of done on purpose. That's why that line was kind of thrown in there, to just, you know, make fun of the troopers. But yeah, I mean, coming away from this episode, that just blew my mind. Now, a couple other great bits here in the episode. Obviously, Obi-Wan and Leia got some great scenes of them together. Obviously, they go on the run. We meet a new character. What was his name? Was it Freck or Feck? Almost looked like a little mole. Kind of, you know, but like a, you know, life size and just kind of working for the Empire. Of course, he seems like a stand-up guy, man, just making a living. And, you know, he believes in what the Empire is doing, especially what they're doing on his little planet there. And, you know, basically brings them to the checkpoint, even though I think he was kind of already going in that direction. But he's like, hey, you might want to check these guys out. But before that, you know, we get the moment of those troopers on that transport, and what was probably the most touching moment so far of this series. And that's when Obi-Wan slips up. He's the one that slips up, not Leia. Instead of calling her Luma, calls her Leia. And the trooper says, "Hey, I thought you said her name was Luma." And to hear Obi-Wan basically say, I lost my wife recently, and looking at her, my daughter, I mistakenly called her by my wife's name because when I look at her, I see her face. And obviously he's not talking, well, I mean, he is talking about her mother, not his wife, but about Padme. And it was just kind of this touching moment. And even Leia even picks up on it. And she says, "You knew my mother, didn't you?" And then she says, "Are you my father?" And, that was just kind of like this touching moment of Obi-Wan's like, "No, I'm not your dad." But, he knows the tragedy of what happened to her father. And he even says, "I wish I was your father." Which makes you think, does he kind of maybe regret giving Leia to Bail, Organa? Maybe he would want to be some sort of a father figure. But, of course, the Court of the Jedi, I don't think would really allow that. But then we even get a little glimpse and a little insight into Obi-Wan's emotions towards his family. He has glimpses of them, of his mom, his father's hands, and he says, a sibling, possibly a brother, and I don't know, that was kind of the most human we've seen Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan a lot of times is so much by the code. I mean, we get emotion, obviously, Revenge of the Sith and that, but this was like, in this series, some of the most that we got. We meet that Imperial officer. That was kind of cool meeting her, of being someone who is kind of a turncoat. She enlisted early on and was ready to go. And about 2 years in, there's just like, "Nope, this isn't for me." We do learn of this. Oh, what do they call it? I can't believe I can't remember the name. Was it the Path or something? But essentially, it's almost like the Underground Railroad that, we had in the United States during slavery to help kind of slaves escape with safe houses. Essentially, that's happening right now, in this time frame where they're basically pulling Jedi through and moving them on to where they can get to, was it Jameel, I think they said, was the name of the place where they could go and get a whole new life, whole new lifestyle, and renamed and everything like that. So it's kind of an interesting thing. And so that means that right there is setting up that there are other Jedi who have come through. Now, you could argue and say, well, why did we never see them in episode 4, 5, and 6, but part of that could be they just, the Rebels really was just kind of this small ragtag group and were kind of, fighting their own little fight, and they put the call out. Now, you could say that maybe now that's where we go next after Rise of Skywalker, right? It was really that Rise of Skywalker was the end of the Sith and all that, or potentially that, and kind of the Jedi coming back. Maybe you'll suddenly have all these Jedi come out of hiding. And again, you could say, well, where were they during all this? Maybe the word wasn't out there. The Rebels were trying to do everything they could and get everybody on board, but, it was still kind of their own just little fight doing their own missions and things like that. So maybe that this group gets so far out, wherever this location is she's talking about, is so far out of the outer rim. It's like the outer rim of the outer rim, maybe. And so it's like they're not in tune with what's going on in the Empire. It's a place outside of the Empire's grasp, and that's where they all go. And so there's this safe haven of Jedi that are out there and have been training for a long time. That could be what that's maybe setting up there. But overall, man, this series really is fantastic. Like, I got up this morning actually pretty early again. It was around 4, didn't mean to. I didn't actually get out of bed, so it was like 4:45. But I was just laying there thinking about it. I'm like, man, I can either try to sleep a little bit longer here since I, woke up at the butt crack of dawn, or go down and watch some Obi-Wan. And then finally I was just like, I gotta see what's gonna happen here. I gotta know what they're gonna do, especially after the last week's episode. And I'm glad I did, because this was a hell of an episode. I mean, it was literally all I could think about was just the Vader scene, man. The last 5-10 minutes, that's just, wow. Wow, just how that anger that he has, it really shows you. And when you think about it, that's really probably what drives him through everything. I mean, we knew that, right? Losing his kids and kind of that fall to the dark side. That's just what he was going to be. But it's also that revenge, He was almost like always on this revenge path to Obi-Wan. And until Obi-Wan dies, that's almost when he then really opens up the door for that possible redemption. And of course, we get the redemption of Luke, you know, from Empire to then into Return of the Jedi. Well, not really redemption of Luke, but where he's able to redeem himself by helping Luke at the end of Return of the Jedi. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. So please, guys, let me know what you thought of this episode. You know, I'm curious to see if that scene is really going to hit people as much. And even the Obi-Wan scene, even the which by the way, didn't bring up just the Obi-Wan with these blasters and dropping a stormtrooper, getting cut in half. Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen that before, getting cut right in half on lasers. Ridiculous. Let me know what you thought of this. Email me, theenthusedlife@gmail.com, or please just hit me up on Twitter at Mark Turk, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. I want to know your thoughts. And what you think is next? I mean, for me, the next thing, if I had to take a guess, you know, we know Leia now is captured, so Obi-Wan's going to have to save it, but we're going to have some sort of like healing arc, which could be the next one, which makes me think, because we need, I'm really crossing my fingers, we're going to get the Qui-Gon Force Ghost. We got to get that, right? We have to, especially, I mean, he's calling out to him, even called out to him in this episode as well. We know Yoda said, I'll train you to get in touch with your master. Well, Yoda didn't train him that well. And so the only way to get more training is to go back and talk to Yoda. So are we going to Dagobah in one of these episodes? Wouldn't surprise me if we do. We get the training from Yoda. He's able to tap into Qui-Gon, talk to Qui-Gon, who then gives him whatever motivation he needs to then go save Leia and bring Leia back to Alderaan. That's where I think we're going. And I don't know. Going to be interesting to see. I can't wait, man. 3 more episodes. Let's go. So again, let me know what you guys think, and that'll be it. So until next time, guys, this Friday, I'll be talking about Marvel Snap, the new digital trading card game that is on the way. It's right now in closed beta. It's from Ben Brody and his team. Second Dinner is their name. They're the Ben Brody's one of the developers for Hearthstone, the guys who created Hearthstone. So we'll be talking about all about that on Friday, and I'll share my thoughts with you on that. So until then, everybody, have a great rest of your day, and I'll catch you next time.